welcome to the Align Business Podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Kerslake, CEO of personal branding agency, Pinegate Road, and business coach to online service providers, coaches, and educators. I know that you believe that living a great life is so much more than the business that you lead or the money that you make. Each week, we'll dive into what it actually takes to live an aligned life with a business that supports it. Let's do this. This show is brought to you by the Align Business Academy. Are you so ready to go all in with your online business and hit six figures this year in a way that feels fulfilling and true to you? Apply now for the Align Business Academy. This is our signature program that helps you scale your online business with one-on-one and community support, a framework for learning all things online business, and a proprietary three-part system for scaling while working way less than you are now. Say hello to more freedom, income, and impact. Apply now at pinegateroad.com/academy. That's pinegateroad.com/academy. Hello and welcome. I hope you're having an amazing day. Today, we have one of our Align Business Academy students, Katie Dursky, on the show today. She is a brand and website designer. She specifically works with wedding industry professionals, or she did. She's since expanded who she's working with. And she has a really fun, feminine style, and the sites that she does are just so gorgeous. She's an amazing designer. She has been able to navigate not only growing a multi six-figure business this year, but also parenting and having kids home while the pandemic was going on. She has been able to do so much incredible work. She has shifted a lot of her business model, and she's been able to make some really big moves. And I wanted to bring her on to share a little bit about what this looks like, some of the behind the scenes, how she's been able to juggle parenting and growing her business during a global pandemic and have her best business year ever. So I'm going to just let us go on to the show, have Katie share more about what she does and how she's been doing this all, and get ready for a really fun interview today with brand and web designer Katie Dursky. Hi, Katie. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I am awesome. I'm excited to have you here today and to chat all things business, kids, and just everything.
Yes. Sounds great.
Awesome. So I'd love for you just to share a little bit about how you started your business, how you've been growing it. I actually don't know like all of the details of your business.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear about that.
Sure. So I started this maybe 10 years ago. I had a good friend who was a wedding photographer at the time, and my background is actually in motion graphics. So I have a master's in video production. And after I graduated, I got a few jobs doing that, which is really just animated graphic design. And so my friend who was a wedding photographer needed a logo, and I was like, oh, okay, like I can maybe do that. And then she had a friend who needed a logo. And so, you know, when I look back on that stuff, it's like atrocious to look at, but like that was kind of my start. And then she introduced me to this business who, I forget the name of it. It's, Laura Casey, like her business making things happen or whatever. Mm-hmm. So like, and I like looked at that business and I was like, there's businesses that just will like do branding for like wedding business, like, and that's kind of like the niche that I fell into. And I like had no idea that was something that was even possible. And so she was like really my biggest cheerleader into helping, being like, because she owned her own business and she was like, you can do it, like if I can do it and you can do it. So that was kind of how I got started. Yeah. Awesome.
So back then, did you have kids and were you working full time? Like, I'd love to hear about the time situation.
Yeah. So I didn't have kids. I was working full time. And I was working as a motion graphics artist. Yeah. So.
And then just doing this, how was that like juggling that?
It was easier without kids, I will say. I had been married maybe a year or so. I was probably 24 or 25. So basically I would come home and just go in my office that I had made in our townhouse, and I would work on whatever until whatever time I wanted to. And I just got it done. And it got to the point where after I did that for maybe 2 years as a side hustle, 3 years. And then I talked to my husband. I was like, I feel like I got to like maybe the $50,000 range. And I was like, I feel like I could shift that over. Cause at the time my salary was like $52,000. Like I was just out of college. You know what I mean? And I was like, this is like silly. I could probably make more and have my own job. So that's what I did.
I love it. Yeah. I was very similar. And I was like, I'm making about like more than six figures just doing both of these things. And if I actually dedicated all my time to the one, that would be pretty cool. So was it like a big leap for you to do that? I know for me, I kind of had heart palpitations for like a year before I actually decided to do it. I was so nervous about it, but what did that look like for you? And what did you have in place in order to make that transition?
Yeah. So, I guess I had several, you know, clients that I was working with, and I had several booked through the time that I knew that I was going to be quitting my job. My husband had a full-time job. He had all the benefits. So like, that wasn't like a scary, I mean, it was scary in the sense that, you know, I'm leaving my security or whatever. But like we had some savings, and so it wasn't as scary, as I think it could have been for a lot of people. Cause I think a lot of people who either aren't married, like that's their main thing. And they're just, you know, relying totally on themselves. But like, so for me, because of his like, support and financial stability, it wasn't super as scary, if that makes sense, but yeah, it was so scary, but very exciting. It was very exciting because I, like I said, I was making what I make for my salary. It was time to leave.
Totally. And how was that first year? For me, it was very tumultuous and I didn't realize that it would be, but what was that first year of working for yourself like?
Yeah, it was, I remember the first like few weeks, I was like, this is great. I can wake up whenever I want. I can stay up. I mean, I'm a big reader. So like I would stay up till like, I remember sometimes, I mean, I would never do this now with children, but I would stay up till like 1-2 in the morning reading a book and be like, it's fine. I can just get up whenever I want. So I remember it took a while to like figure out like, what is my schedule going to be?
Yeah.
That was like a big mindset shift for me. But yeah, the first year, no, I don't remember what I made, but it was, I mean, it was certainly enough that it wasn't like I made the wrong decision. It was like, oh, this was a good move.
That's awesome. Yeah. Mine was definitely, did I make the wrong decision?
Oh, okay.
I was like looking for other jobs. It was,
I know.
So it was like a big thing. So, okay. Yeah. So let's fast forward. You're, you know, building this, you have your children, like, how is this going with running your business, having babies? Like you're so calm, cool, and collected about this.
I mean,
and I feel like I built it up like huge in my head. Like, did you take maternity leave? Like, how did that all go?
I remember, so I got pregnant like the year that I left. So I had my son, it was about a year of being full-time that I had my son. And that was definitely challenging. I think I did schedule like 2 months off. Like I didn't schedule anything, but that back then, like I would be scheduling like months out, and I still do that to an extent, but I don't do like any more than like a month two at the absolute most. So, so I had people scheduled for like after I had my leave. And that seemed to work out fine with me, but yeah, having kids was interesting. It definitely like I was like a zombie a lot of days, and it's just being a mom in itself is like really hard, especially your first one. Cause you're like, it's such a shocking thing for your body to adjust. So like, I could no longer stay up at 2 a.m. to like read my books. Like I had to really like figure out that, but I did have, childcare. I think when my son turned a year is when I started taking him to an in-home daycare a few mornings a week. And then my parents lived on the next street. So my mom and dad would help watch him for a few hours or whatever. And that definitely helped. Like if I didn't have childcare, like it would have been really, really hard for me.
Yeah. So, did you go in having like a plan for that? Or was it really just whatever you felt like you needed, you kind of made happen?
I knew I was going to need childcare. So I definitely like looked into that, and I knew there was a lady in our neighborhood-ish that did that. So I kind of, you know, took him over there and like interviewed with her or whatever. Cause I knew that I needed to have that in order to like work. So totally. I got away with it up until they're like walking. You can kind of get away with it because they're napping a lot. They're not really mobile, but then once they walk, it's like, okay, I can't do both at the same time. So yes, I did kind of plan for that. Yeah.
Awesome. It's so funny because I thought like, oh, the newborn stage, it's like the worst. They're always like crying, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like,
it was sleeping,
like, so. I was like, I got a lot more work done. Now it's like, I can't even, you know, walk away for a minute or two. And he's like into stuff. So yeah, definitely. Yeah. First one, I just had, I mean, obviously I'm not even, I don't even have two yet, but it was a huge, huge shock. So I'd also love to talk about like, how did you, it feels like you almost just accidentally niche into the wedding industry, and are you still in?
So I guess I did kind of accidentally, if you will. I just really liked the idea of, I mean, you know, weddings are pretty, like I'm a woman, like I like feminine things, and I really liked that appeal. Basically, I looked at that making things happen business, and I was like, I want to be that. That's what I want to do. And I loved how everything looked. I loved how they displayed everything. And it was kind of like my goal business model, if you will, to work just like how they were working. So that's kind of what I set out to do.
Did she have a brand design studio, or what was she?
This was like 10 years ago. So she, it was Laura Casey and Emily Lay, and they had, it was called Making Brands Happen, I think.
Gotcha.
Then they did like the workshop that was like making things happen. I don't know if they probably don't do it anymore, but at that time that was like what they were doing. I was like, that's so cool.
So I know Emily Lay, she has that planner, and then Laura Casey, I'm like, either she has the magazine or had the magazine and has books and things like that. So I just never knew that she was doing that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Ooh. Yeah. So maybe that'll be me one day.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know.
Well, you've been like on brands, and you've been growing this for 10 years.
Yeah.
Where are you at now with everything?
Yeah. So it's nice to finally be at a place where like, I'm done having kids. They're almost 4 and 7, which is great. So I feel like it's taken me so long, like to get here. I'm sleeping, they're sleeping. Like, you know, when they're little, you're just like, I just can't wait until that day when, and that day's here, but then I miss the little days too, the little baby stage. But anyway, no. Yeah. So now, I'm still doing that, that niche. I have expanded. I've worked with 4 guys this year, which is, which is saying that's a big deal. But yeah, so like now, like, I mean, I did the math and I projected like, I mean, I should make at least 200 this year, which is crazy to me. Yay! I've never made that much. so yeah, like I don't know, like when I joined the Academy last year, it was kind of my goal to like rebrand, because I was, actually, I don't know if this is like off topic, whatever, but so right before the pandemic, I actually was at kind of at a place where I was like, I want to throw in the towel. Because what I was working, like I was like kind of faking it till I made it. And it just, I don't know, like I had a good 6-figure year that year. But then like towards the end of 2019, I just wasn't like booking, and it was before COVID and everything. And I couldn't figure out like what I was doing wrong. And so then the pandemic happened, and then obviously like my people didn't book weddings. So that I didn't get jobs, which was fine because I had my kids with me. So that wouldn't have really worked out anyways. And then, you know, by the end of 2020, when you had reached out to me, I was like, it was kind of like this divine intervention to me, honestly, where I was like, if I want to like continue to do this, I need to figure out like what I'm doing wrong, and like kind of reinvested myself. And that's what I did. And then I rebranded, and then I don't know, it just seems like ever since I like rebranded and started doing things in the Academy, like things have gone really well for me. So
And you're just like, well, it just happened.
I did. Yeah. I mean, and it wasn't like lots of big changes that I did. It was just really sitting down to define who my ideal people are, which is something that I feel like is thrown around so much, but like, honestly, like if you think about it, have you ever really taken the time to do it, is what I say to my clients a lot. And a lot of them at first are like, oh yeah. And then later they're like, actually no. Like,
yeah.
So that's something that I did for myself. And I think that, that just like a few changes, like really knowing who my people are, and creating collections around them valued at what they can afford, it really has made a difference for me. So,
yeah. So what are some of the things that maybe you were looking at your ideal people before, and then what are some of the qualities of like the ideal person, or how do you define that in a better way than you were?
Yeah. So I really was able to, I guess, segregate my clients into two groups. Like, I've been doing this a long time now, and I've realized that there are really two different types of people who come to me. There's someone who's like, you know, been around for 1 or 2 years, maybe they're working full time. I call them my rising star client, and they want to like be where I am. They want to do this full time. Like, they're maybe going to be an educator. They're very driven people, but they just don't have as big of a budget. And then there's the, what I call my experienced pro group, who are, they've been around, you know, 5 or 6 years. They maybe have a hodgepodge brand, or they've done the rebranding before, but now they're at a place where they're like ready to scale and work with more, you know, high-end clients, if you will. And so they don't really like blink so much at the cost or whatever. So just really like looking at the psychographics of those people versus like where they shop and like whatever, you know, like those are great, but, you know, really getting in their heads of like where they're at in their journey with their business really helped me to define who they are. And then I can like better serve them. And I really love working with like the newer business crowd. And I think I've been able to come up with some solutions to help them have, you know, pretty brand new websites that are tailored for their people that don't cost $10,000 either, because they're more template based. But yeah, so, and that's something I've learned too, is to not give away too much value. Like, don't create a $10,000 package and charge $5,000 for it, you know, like, so that's something that I've learned in this last year too. But yeah, I think that's how I've defined people.
You are queen of like going all out and giving everything. I love
what I do. I love it.
I just see like everything that you're posting, everything that you're doing, it's just like perfection. Oh, and okay. You know, there's perfection doesn't exist, but like you just go all out, and you like, it just screams like Katie, and like everybody that works with you is just like, Katie's the best, and you go above and beyond. And like, with that, how do you manage to give people such a wonderful client experience while still staying sane and having a family and all of that? Like, is it hard, or how do you manage that?
Yeah. There are some weeks that are harder than others. So like, you know, my husband works full time. He was in healthcare. So during the pandemic, he was still gone every day. So that was hard. I do have childcare now. You know, we're in hybrid school. But just in general, if it were still a perfect world, like my kids go somewhere. So I use that time efficiently. I think that's one of the best ways to look at it, is that, you know, I know what my hours are. That's why I work really hard at them. I work sometimes after my kids go to sleep, even if it's just for an hour, but then I stop and I like take time for myself and I read a book, because that's something I've always done and I don't give up. So I think just, you know, loving what I do, setting aside my designated hours to do my work, and just, you know, really hustling hard. I don't know. I love what I do. I've always known I wanted to be an entrepreneur, even like in high school. Like, so it was just something I knew I wanted to be at home with kids. And, I'm just a very driven person. Like, that's part of my personality. So I think it just comes down to my personality and being efficient and having childcare.
Yes. My regular childcare, I do a nanny share with somebody in the neighborhood. She's like 4 houses down.
Yeah.
And she's out of town visiting her mom. And so my husband's aunt is over today, and I'm like, oh, please come help me. So yeah, definitely all of the childcare, and especially like pandemic wise, we had daycare and then that, you know, really wasn't an option for a while. And now we're just sticking with all of this, but
I can't wait. Like, when the fall starts, my son will be in school, God willing, 5 days a week. And my daughter, she'll be 4. So she'll be in preschool like 3 days a week all day. And then she goes to daycare the other 2 days. So it'll be like a normal work week.
What is that like?
I know. I just like keep thinking, like, I can't imagine what I'll be able to like accomplish and like have more free time to myself. Cause now like I squeeze things in when I can. Like, I'll take half an hour to do what I can. Like, if, you know, my kids are home, I usually try to set aside doing like something administrative, not creative, if you will. So like, I think that helps me too, is knowing what to use my work hours for. Like, I know that I need to use this time for like sales calls and creative work. I can like squeeze in sending contracts or like doing, I do client gifts, like when kids are home. Those are things I could do when they're home, 'cause I don't have to like think about it as much, if that makes
sense. Yeah.
So I think totally. Like delegating what to do when helps me too.
Yeah.
Be efficient. Yeah.
That's nice. And maybe this is just like my brain, but I feel like I don't always like have exactly like, okay, I'm going to like sit here and do this for this time and like make sure I'm really effective with it. And you've just always been that way.
Yeah. I mean, I have, you know, a to-do list sheet that I keep myself organized. So like, I'll look at it and be like, okay, what are these things that I'm going to work on when my kids are gone? And what of these things can I do when they're home? And that's kind of how I do it. And that's
really
that
smart. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So then do you have any help yet? Like other than childcare, like let's talk about that because I know like, with the academy, like one of the big things is like, once you're starting to like sell and it's like, let's build in some support so that you're not going crazy and doing all the things. So talk to me about that.
A big thing I should have mentioned. Yeah. So that was something that was always scary for me. 'Cause you know, when people first mention that to you, you think, oh, like, do I need to get them healthcare? Are they going to be a full-time employee and like all this stuff? And like, no, like you can just, you know, use them as contractors and treat them that way. And they'll help you tremendously. So yes. So I have a virtual assistant that I use. I'm trying to think of more ways to use her actually, but I do a lot of blogging for my clients. So like, she actually is a writer. She writes all their posts and she makes graphics for them. So I'm just kind of the middleman between my client and her, and she helps me with that. And then I have another girl in the academy, or she was in the academy, Ray, that I use on my outsource. So she helps me with final files and patterns. And she does like the initial show it setup for websites for my clients. So usually I have her do like the home, about, and sales page. And then I kind of take it from there, but that helps like free up time for me, for sure, to be able to do things. And, you know, I think also as entrepreneurs, we're very, not greedy, but like, you know, like that's my hard earned money. Like, at least for me, like I was like, I don't want to like share it with anyone, but then I've, you know, gotten to the point where I'm like, no, that's stupid, Katie, because, you know, I don't want to be at a place where I'm telling clients, I can't work with you until 6 months from now, you know, like, which is where I would be at if I didn't have that help. So I look at it as, you know, I'm able to actually make more by, you know, paying someone else a portion of what I'm making, and that, because I might not have been able to book that person if I had told them I can't work with you till 6 months from now. So now, like, I make it a point to give Ray whatever I need to give her so that I can limit my time that I start to work with someone to a month, between 1 and 2 months, which generally people are willing to wait that long. And it's usually no more than a month and a half. So
I love that. It's a huge thing. Like, I hear people saying like, I want to be booked out for like 6 months or blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, you're missing so much opportunity to actually have more income if you just like got support.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things that like helped shift my brain is where I mapped out how long projects took by hour, just in general. And then it's like, okay, if you were just you, you literally only have so many hours to do this work. Mm-hmm. And so if you add the capacity of somebody else, and let's just say it's like full-time work, then you have, you know, 40 times four, like 160 extra hours at whatever hourly rate. And like, if you can book that much more work, like you have that much more capacity in your business. And actually having that down on paper was like, I think there's something about our brains just freak out about management or like the expense of something, because it sounds expensive, but when we're actually looking at the numbers and the bottom line, it's like, whoa, I actually need to be booking this out to get to the numbers that I want to hit in my life. And
So I'm able to definitely accommodate more people because of that.
Totally. And it becomes, I mean, at least in my life, it's become kind of addictive to delegate everything.
It's so nice. Like, just be like, hey Ray, can you do this for me? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is so nice. I don't have to do it. Like, I hate doing that.
So I remember I was 25 25 or 24. And I hired a friend at work to like take on a logo design that I just couldn't, like I was too busy. And I remember I was dating Todd, so my husband, and I remember sitting on like a sun porch at his house, and my friend who had like done the logo sent it to me. And I looked on my phone and I was like, this logo is like perfect.
Yeah.
And I just like remember being able to like hang out with my boyfriend and like get logo designs. I was like, I'm working right now, but I'm not working.
Right.
And it was just like the coolest feeling ever. And ever since then, I'm like, this is the way I'm going to keep going. So had you ever delegated before this year?
No, I had been doing everything. So yeah, the more I can delegate, the more I try to now.
That's awesome. So then when it comes to, I guess, just like growing, scaling, what are some of the next things that you're looking forward to doing?
Yeah. So I don't know, like I'm still collectively just, you know, booking clients, which is great. Like I've never been this busy before, which is crazy. Or it's been a long time, but when I was this busy before, it was with a very different client. And now like I'm working with, you know, almost 10K clients. So I'm like slowly getting there. So yeah, I'm just, looking forward to just, you know, using outsourcing more so that I can free up more of my time. Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm at right now, just figuring that out.
Yeah. So can we talk about like the difference between booking a 5K client and then booking a 10K client, and like what kind of shifts you had to make mindset wise to even step up into that level? Yeah. And then also like everybody asks, where do I find them?
Yeah.
Like, how do you go find them?
Yeah. So, I guess for me, and this is something that I'm going to post in the group probably later, but I've been thinking about is like, you know, I say that, you know, well, my client eventually like has some kind of a cap because I know who my people are, but I say that tentatively because I've booked some people at, so right now I'm at 9K. I'm like slowly maybe working to 10K. Cause once I feel like you get to a 10K person, it's kind of a, almost a different game, but then I don't know, because I booked someone last week at 9, never thought in a million years she would have done that. She came in with like a 2-3 budget. And I was like, she's booking me at 9K. This is ridiculous. So then, so now I'm like, maybe, I think there's a cap, but there's not, like, you know, like, so that's like been a mind shift for me, is realizing that what you may think someone can afford is not always the case. So I am at a place where I'm very organic now, and they find me. So, and that's because I was very intentional about blogging and Pinterest a couple of years ago, and it's paying off now.
Yep.
So, I've gotten pretty good at like, SEO, and like I rank, you know, 3 to 4 for my keywords that I use, which is really awesome. And I think honestly, that's why a lot of people find me is on Google or Instagram. And then I'm getting people, you know, on sales calls, which I had never really done before either, before the academy. That was like a totally different mindset for me. But I think that's why like I'm doing so well at booking them, is because people can see like my transparency and how honest I am. I've had several people tell me they can tell I'm a hand holder, which I totally am. Like
you are.
So, you know, it just being able to like share that value in like a face-to-face thing has really helped me book them, but they have been finding me organically. And I think, yeah, like I said, I really like catering to both sides, and I have been shocked at how I can convince someone who I thought was a 5K client to be, you know, a 9. So I'm trying to figure out like, what is my end goal? Cause I don't want to raise the price just to raise the price. I want to value it appropriately. I do think there is room for me to like set it higher, because I give a lot for what I charge. So, but I like doing all of that. I just have to charge it appropriately, but I'm getting more confident. Like I started it at like 7 and now like I'm at 9, like, you know, not even that much. And like, I might try, I have a sales call this week where I'm going to do a tester of 10 and see how it goes. So,
yeah. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And what it like, I've kind of found it comes down to is not so much like every single person having that same like limit. Like people are going to have their budgetary limits and all of the things,
right?
But it's like, they really just want that end result. And the difference between like an $8,000 package and a $12,000 package, like at that level, like there right. isn't much of a difference if they're going to get that result. And
right.
I found, because especially we are in my agency, we're working with like multi six and seven figure business owners. Right. It's like, that is not the biggest difference. Like they can usually make like their entire website investment back with like one or right. two clients.
Right.
And so it's really just like, are you going to be delivering that result that they're after?
Right.
And
right.
yeah,
and that, yeah, that's been cool. another mind shift thing in my sales calls is just because I think I posted in this the group before, like I'm really good at telling people what's in my collection, like what I do. But I always now say like, I know that that's, you know, important, whatever, but like what they really want to hear is what am I going to get from this? You know? And that's like what I share now is just like kind of what I bring to the table. And I do like, you know, talk about how, you know, my clients, you know, they work weddings, but a lot of them charge, you know, $4,000 to $7,000 or whatever. And like, they'll make back that back in like two or three events. So like, you know, I think like knowing your client and how you can word it that way, like you'll make this back mm-hmm. in whatever, helps them see the value of it too. And that it's really not as scary when you look at it that way. So
totally. So what else would you say to somebody who might be charging like $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 for a brand or a website? And like, maybe what you would have said to yourself a couple years ago yeah. about being able to book at this level.
Yeah, I have been there. I never thought I would be able to charge what I've charged in a million years. Like I think I booked, I don't know, at least 4 or 5 9K packages now, which is crazy to me. Like I never thought that was something that I could do. And I think sometimes people look at it and be like, oh, like I'm charging way too much. Like they feel bad. Like it's like a, you know, and I was almost that way. Like I can't charge that much for this. But then when you look at it, like, you know, I'm providing them something that's going to last them for hopefully a long time. Cause I know what I'm doing, I think. So like think. That,
you do
like, you have to like, you know, look at it that way. Isn't that like, you're giving them a lot of value for what they're getting. And you also have to, you know, accommodate your taxes, your expenses. And, you know, I think that's kind of an eye opener for people. And I do that with my clients now, like when I help, if they need help with like pricing, is, you know, looking at what are your expenses? What are your taxes? And like, you know, what do you need to make each month? And they're like, oh, like I need to charge more, you know, like it's often like an eye opener. So like, to me, like, I don't ever feel bad now about what I'm charging. And I feel like I need to be charging more, which is really crazy. So I don't know, I guess I would just tell old Katie and those people that, you know what you're worth. And I think it's a matter of confidence too. Like, I don't know that I would have felt that way years ago. Do you know what I mean? But now having done this for so long, having fine-tuned my process of what my clients need and what I can provide, like I feel very confident that I can get them the results that they need. So, you know, it's just a matter of experience too. And like getting to that level of confidence that you feel comfortable charging what you're charging. So, and I'm there now, so it's nice.
I love it. What are some, you said like, you know, you're able to get them the results that they're looking for. What are some of the things that not necessarily they're looking for, but like, how do you measure the results on websites and brands and things like that? Like,
yeah. So and that's something like I never really did before either, but now I like make a point, like I make reminders in my phone. I set it to like 2 months after they've launched to check in with them and just ask them like, you know, how many things have you booked? Like what's going on? And like, they'll tell me. So I think, you know, and I've developed relationships with this point that they're happy to share like what I've done for them. But like most of my clients are able to raise their prices. They're able to work with their ideal clients over and over again. Like I had my one client that I launched, I don't know, I think at the beginning of this month. And she said she went from having, you know, 2 or 3 inquiries a month. She's had 14 like already.
Wow.
Which is crazy. And like, that's like a measurement that I wouldn't have known about. She just openly told me about it because she said that she is so thankful, like for, you know, what we did together. And you know, I've had other clients who like have taken my blog course and they are getting inquiries from Google, which is exciting to them. So like, it's not like measurable money things, if you will, yeah. but those like translate to money later because of the Google rankings and the number of inquiries that you get. So I make it a point to like follow up with them and just ask them, you know, if there are any results like that they can share with me, and to really like highlight that over social media on my portfolio pages so that people know like what they're getting for their money. And another thing I started doing, is I ask them for a video review. I just ask them to record themselves, and just text it to me. And then I've been like embedding those as Loom videos on my portfolio pages so that people can see them talking about it. And then I post it on Instagram. So like being able to like see their faces, I think it, people can put themselves in their shoes, and it just, it's just like a simple video on their phone. It's nothing fancy. Do you know what I mean? But like, it's just real. And I think that that's going to really help me in the long run too. So yeah,
that's such a good idea. I always like, I don't know why I have like a weird little mindset thing, like about like asking people for like reviews or testimonials or videos. I'm like, oh, they have to like go do more work to like help me or something. Yeah. I'm like, I'm working on my own mindset stuff around that. But that's so nice that you're just like, can you just take the video and text it to me? Like, it makes it so much easier and it's like not a big deal. So
And then I can just use the words from it instead of them typing something. So, and yeah, most people, I'll just nag them about it until they do it, and they don't care. Because usually right at the beginning, they're very excited about launching. Like they have no problem like shouting from the rooftops, like, you know, how awesome hopefully it was.
I love it. Amazing. So anything else that you want to share about your journey or growing or scaling or just running an online business in this day and age?
Yeah. I don't know. Like I just, like I said, I'm glad I joined the Academy. It was just a good push for me to really invest back into myself. And I think like I'm at a level now where I never thought I would be. Like I'm outsourcing. Like it's just crazy. Like I love what I do. I don't know what else I can add. Like, yeah, like when I like looked at what I've made so far this year, like I almost like peed my pants. My husband was like, can I come work for you now? And like, I was like, no, but yeah, like I think it took me a long time to get here though. You know, like I've been doing this 10 years now. Could I have gotten here sooner? Yes, I probably could have if I had maybe joined an academy like this before or just had some mindset shifts. But you know, I am where I am now and I feel like confident and I'm in a place that I'm ready to keep scaling and growing, and I'm comfortable where I am now. So
yeah, I love it. And I feel similar. I have also been doing this for 10 years. And I think sometimes people will find us at certain points in our journey and like see that success or that kind of thing. And it's like, oh no, I've had like 10 years of like weirdness before getting here. Yeah. And it's, I think we're all meant to be on our own pace and our own journey. Yeah. And it's just nice when you can enjoy the ride along the way. And do you feel like you have been able to really enjoy it as you've been growing your business?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I love it. And like I said, like it has taken me a long time to really figure out like who I want to serve. And that's nothing to be ashamed about. It's just like, it's something that took a while. And like everyone, like you said, is at a different pace. But yeah, no, I've loved it. And it's just taken me a while to figure out like where I want to go. And now I feel like I'm finally here. So that's exciting.
I love it. And this is kind of a random question, but like, do you have one like really fun highlight from your business journey? Like one moment that you just look back on, you're like, ah, oh, like that was really cool.
Oh, I don't know, man. There's a lot of, I guess there's a lot. Gosh, I can't think of one specifically that I've done. I guess just like hearing results from my clients, like when they go out of their way to email me, like specifically, I can think of one girl who, she emailed me after shortly working with me. She was like, I got my first Pinterest inquiry. And I was like, oh, that's so exciting. Cause I had like helped coach her like on how to like get through that. And then I've had other clients that I've said, I've been able to raise my price like 4 times, like just like, I guess little snippets from them, have been awesome. And, just recently I did, a site that on Show It, I did an inventory site, like for a rental company. And it's something that no one has ever done before, really, the way that I did it. So it was like one of those just like proud moments for me because, you know, I was able to showcase something that no one's really ever done before. And it was a lot of hard work on my end. But I can't think of anything else off the top of my head other than I've just loved what I've done in general.
I love it. I can just like sense all the fun and passion that you have for everything that you do.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're going to wrap up here, but is there any last parting words of advice that you want to share with the audience today?
I guess just, you know, keep faking it till you make it. I had someone tell me that a long time ago, but that's something I feel like I didn't mention is, you know, do what you got to do to make things happen. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm one of those people, like, I know we talked about in the Academy, like some people need to have everything perfect before they launch whatever it is they're doing. I'm not like that. I get an idea and I run with it. And like, I think that has worked really well for me. It's not perfect at all, whatever I'm running with. But it's at least a starting point for me to feel out, you know, is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? Do I need to tweak it? Like whatever. So like, I guess that would be my advice to people is don't be scared to try something new in your business. Even if it doesn't work out, like I've done that many times where I've like advertised something and I'm like, oh, this is not going how I thought it was going to go. But then the next time I do something like that and it works really well. So, just test and try new things and don't feel like you have to make something perfect before you try it, if that makes sense. So
I love that. And I think that's like, I've also been that way. And it's just amazing how much faster you can grow when you're not worried about putting the perfect thing out there before you get started. So I love that. All right. So where can people find you online and reach out and chat with you if they would like?
Yep. So my website is ribbonandink.com. And then you can find me on Instagram too at ribbonandink. And
that's awesome.
Kind of where I live.
Great. Do you have any kind of like fun free resources on those?
I do.
Places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have an ideal client guide. I have some free stock photography. I have a Show It tutorial, lots of Show It stuff. I've been a Show It design partner for like 10 years. I've been with them since they were like the Flash.
The desktop.
A long time.
I have also, I downloaded it and I was just like, no, this is not what I want. And then as soon as they switched to like the new version, I was like one of the first people there. I was like, this is it.
So lots of Show It stuff. I have a pricing guide, how to brand your Instagram. And then I have a YouTube channel that I started. So that's another one of those things where I'm like, I know that's one of those things too, where I'm like, I started it and was good at it for a while. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be able to keep this up. So we'll see, but there's stuff there.
You can get support.
Yes,
I have
that's true.
The wonderful Ashley supporting with the podcast. And now at this point, it's like, I just get to show up for the interviews and she's managing the rest. And it's really nice. I'm like, okay, this is something I can like actually keep doing. So
cool.
Amazing. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Sure. It was awesome to learn and catch up with you and see all the awesome things that you're up to. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. If you've enjoyed the show, please take a few seconds right now to leave a rating and review on iTunes. It's so simple and helps us so much. This is incredibly helpful for getting the show into more ears so that we can make even more impact. I'm sending you so much love. I hope you have an amazing week. You've got this.